There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
It's 107. This is FM Talk 106.5. I am Jonathan McConnell. Sean Sullivan is in Hawaii liberating trapped fish from the volcanic waters of the Kuna Volcano. We are taking your calls, but also, too, talking a little bit about the Roy Moore issue and also, too, in politics. And we've gotten into a little bit. I feel a little bit bad. I've been bashing Republicans this morning, and that's not my intention. I definitely... It kind of side a lot in the middle grounds, but I can bash Democrats and socialists quite well as also. I think that with our recent Democrat being elected in Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out of New York, I think she gives us plenty of ground to bash socialists on that one. Because, I mean, let's look at Venezuela, for example. I think this morning they said that they hit 1,000,000% inflation. You know, it's not working. Socialism doesn't work. But also, too, we've got to be careful because we become socialist in this country. You know, we are corporate socialists in a lot of ways. We allow corporations, just like what we were just talking about earlier, to live off the government and to get subsidies off the government. But then, too, we allow our entitlement programs to be run amok. We've got, you know, half of Americans in this half the people in this country do not pay taxes. You know, Congress last week authorized a bill that allowed 30 million immigrants into this country, which, you know, do we have the capability of getting good jobs for those people? I realize unemployment's at one of its lowest it's ever been, but we've got some major problems. Dalton, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's funny, you know, with the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a lot of the conversation on social media, on Twitter that I see, you know, she puts Democrat by socialist when she describes what she is. She says Democrat socialist, we're not the same as socialists. And it's kind of the PR spin on, well, Democratic socialists aren't the same as socialists. And I just, you know, the kind of the wording that they use. And then I don't know if you saw, there was a video with her being interviewed maybe 2 weeks ago, and I think she was talking about immigration, and it was one of those instances kind of like what the media kept trying to get Trump on, at least in his campaign, where they would ask a question and she didn't know anything what she was talking about. She had all these issues, and I can't remember exactly what she was discussing. I think it was illegal immigration. She had all these issues. She was talking about abolishing ICE and sticking to her party lines, the Democrat Socialist party lines. And the interviewer asked her a simple question about it, and she had no clue what was going on. I wonder how much of her being elected is because, you know, she's a pretty face. She looks good. She probably did well out on the campaign trail, 28 years old. I'm worried that in this day and age with Twitter, with Facebook, everything we have going on, that we're electing people based on how they would do in TV or movies and not how they would actually, you know, govern.
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, you know, do they poke you back on Facebook when you poke them? That's a big question.
It's important.
Ask, you know, like, but I mean, how many likes do they get and stuff like that? You know, I think that she's trying to rebrand socialism. It's dangerous. You know, that socialism is okay. It doesn't work. You know, and by going out and saying, you know, hey, that she is a democratic socialist and trying to rebrand it that way, it's dangerous to our society. By saying that you're going to ban or disband ICE, the immigration customs, and immigration folks. I mean, do people realize? I mean, this is public information. It's published out there. Do you know how many pounds of drugs that our government seizes a day on the U.S. Southern border?
A whole lot.
Take a guess. Just
how many pounds every single day? I'm going to be low, I'm sure. I'm going to say 500. I'm sure that's way low.
You could times it by 10.2. So it's it's about 7,000 pounds a day that we seize on the southern border.
Golly, and that's all ICE for the most part?
Well, border protection, ICE, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, that's who seizes all this, you know, so over 7,000 pounds a day. Personally, maybe if we taxed it, you know, and or, you know, shipped it to Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, maybe they'd have quite the surplus in their budget, which they already probably do, you know, but there's a necessary need for these. I mean, it is a national security issue on our border. You know, we've got to know who's coming in here. I've been to the Middle East probably 20 to 30 times, been to Africa 20 or 30 times. I can tell you that if I don't enter their country legally, I am going to jail. You know, we're the only country, I think, out there that apologizes for the way that we treat people. And no, we shouldn't separate, you know, children from their parents, but in fact, their parents are doing something that is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you entered our country illegally. That's just how it's going to happen. So, I mean, I think that, you know, banning Customs and Border, banning, you know, ICE agents is something that's dangerous. It's a dangerous rhetoric. I mean, it's just like, hey, let's ban law enforcement because everything's going to be okay. It's the argument of gun control, right? Of oh, well, hey, we should ban assault weapons because it, you know, that or ban, you know, firearms because that works well in Chicago. You know, I'm a Class 3 federal firearms license dealer. I tell you what, I am all about safe, responsible gun ownership. But you can't argue with me about gun rights until you tell me what's going on in Chicago. If they have the strictest gun laws in the country, then how do they have the highest murder rate in the country? And no one can answer that to me. It's a people problem. It's not a gun problem.
Well, you know, so much of it comes down to common sense. Like you just said, think about Chicago. Think about all the bad stories that come from immigrants coming from Mexico, from illegal immigrants, like killing people or distributing drugs. It's the outrage of the day. Whenever they're separating families, then all of a sudden it's abolish ICE. Whenever an AR is mentioned in the news, abolish guns. It's never, let's have a common sense discussion about this. Let's figure out the best way to move on as a country that's safest for everyone, that's as legal as possible for everyone regarding as far as the Constitution goes. It's never like that, and you see it in the news every single day. Whatever the outrage is, it's half of country saying ban that, that's the worst thing ever, and the other half saying don't ban it. Let's do more. This is the best thing ever. Actually, that's a lie. There's a big middle ground that's completely being ignored in the news, and that's because it doesn't sell.
It doesn't sell, and that's the problem. Is that we live all this rhetoric of, you know, hey, whatever's a sensationalist, and you know our sensationalism is what our news is, and you know, I mean, kind of going on with what you said a second ago, like, hey, let's ban spoons in order to get rid of fat people. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, I don't.
Hey, that won't stop me.
Hey, I do not need a spoon in order to get my donuts. I can tell you that right now. It's you know, that and banana bread. It's the greatest thing in the world to me. But you know, it is a. It's a dangerous rhetoric. The rebranding of socialism is dangerous. People, you know, the point to some of the human rights violations out there and the terrible things that have happened, you know, in regards to, you know, Russia, for example. You've got Venezuela, and when you have too powerful of a government, you know, like, you know, when people shouldn't be afraid of their government should be afraid of their people. I'm a huge fan of that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that, you know, with as much as we're overstepping our bounds now with surveillance and stuff like that, I think you're kind of turning where I'm like, hey, I know that the DIA and whoever are listening to my cell phone, it, you know, whatever I say, and that's just life. It's just kind of how it works.
Hey, when we come back here, we do have a couple calls on the line. John, hang on the line for us. And if you want to call in, text in 251-343-0106 is the number.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 1:19, and we're going to go ahead and take a call from John from Millbrook.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, John. How are you?
Doing fine. Listen, I will get to the subject in just a moment, but you were on my son's show out of Montgomery several times when you were running for office.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, good. And I was on your son's show?
Yeah, it's Caleb. He was on 1440 in Montgomery.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, with working with Mark Montiel up there. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has his own show now.
Oh, great. Yeah, on Saturday mornings.
Yeah. Listen, I did want to weigh in on this. Ms. Cortez, with regard to her, conservatives need to hope that she continues to flourish, because in doing so, that's going to paint a distinctive picture about where we all are, and that's the direction that the Democrat Party is going, and that's the way that it needs to go. And as a result of that, I think it's going to be easier for conservatives to get elected if people like her are running. I wish she could run for president, but she's not old enough.
You know, John, I agree with you, but yes, that would make it easier for Republicans to get elected, and maybe that's what I'm all about, but the downside of that is then it doesn't hold Republicans as accountable. Like, I would love a really, really sharp Democrat to run against a really, really sharp Republican so that you actually have the exchange of really good ideas, as opposed to, like, hey, here's the easy win. Because the easy win, we don't get sharper, right? You know, like, iron sharpens iron. It's not, the easy win's not going to help us. But, I mean, I agree with you. I think that's good for the Republican Party, but it's not necessarily best for the nation.
Well, I think that there are enough sharp people on the conservative side to be able to select from, get down to someone that could really be effective in the political offices. And as a result of that, I just think that it's great for someone that is as extreme as she is, and which, I mean, be honest about it, she should be a card-carrying communist because of her views, and because that won't work. And there will be a fringe 10-20% that would love her candidacy for a high office. Of course, she can get elected in New York, but to be able to do anything nationwide. But the people need to see that that's the direction of the Democrat Party. And, I mean, I think that's a great thing, actually.
Well, it may. My thing is, though, is it's a great thing for the Republican Party, but it's not always the best. I mean, I'm welcoming all ideas. You know, I'm all about, if a communist wants to go through and exchange an idea, I think it's going to be beaten all day through a Democratic Republic. But, you know, in a capitalism society, I think that, we're better off here, I think the best part of our country, though, is having someone that is someone that's maybe, can we have a middle left person and a middle right person run, and just to hear what their conversations about, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, but I appreciate it, and please tell Caleb I said hello. Great guy, loved being on their show with them. They were always phenomenal. I did actually have to look up, because I wondered who issues communism cards, because I googled, like, okay, well, hey, what is a card carrying communist? And there are actually organizations out there that do issue library cards for members of the card carrying members of the Communist Party, and so maybe we should send them to her. It's actually funny. I'm not above doing stuff like that. That's like one of my favorite things to do. Kind of a little pastime, and I think I mentioned this to you last week, Dalton, when I was in here, was, you know, like, it's actually kind of fun to just do fun stuff. Like, I picked up a few road signs from politicians in this last one and actually mailed them back to some of the people.
Yes.
And, I just get my jollies out of stuff like that, and so I wrote in black magic marker, hey, can you pick this trash up off the side of the road? And, I had yet to see one of their signs in a legal location, and so I mailed it back to their campaign office. You know the way to solve that, though.
What's
is,
that?
Is if you actually went through and all these campaign signs that are out there, and that are on the right of way, which is illegal and stuff like that. If you actually made it to where you could do a postage paid by recipient, and if made the post office collect that money, then you know what? People would actually stop putting their signs in illegal locations.
They probably would.
Yeah.
Before I go, one thing that bugs me about all politicians is that they try to say they're not one. Because in the last campaign, and we're still having this, everyone says, I'm not a politician, but in actuality, when you throw your name into the hat, you by your nature then are a politician. So no matter what you like, I know what they mean by that, but in actuality, everyone that runs, if I were to put out a campaign tomorrow, if I had an office that I wanted to seek, then I would be a, by definition, politician at that point.
Well, John, I guess it's because no one likes to be hated. You know, like I hardly ever tell anybody that I'm a lawyer. I almost never say that I'm a lawyer. I normally just say I do logistics consulting or I say something like that so that I don't have to claim that. And because no one likes to be hated unless you're just a masochist like that, and maybe you yeah. do like it. But yeah, no, it's a great point.
I can understand hiding being a lawyer. I get that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because like how many of the ads in the last campaign said Christian conservative, courageous Christian conservative or something like that. What if someone just said politician?
You know, yeah, wonder what they would say.
I'm just running for office. No, they've always got to say I'm one of you. Look, I've got my sleeves rolled up. I've got my work boots on. I'm out here slumming it with everybody on the street. And I'm talking about national politics because most of the time, or a lot of the time, the local politicians are us, and they should be. As far as, you know, the bigger the office, the less likely that person is like you, in my opinion.
Well, it's true, but do you ever, like, rate the commercials and you're just like, okay, this guy is wearing a suit, but yet he's got heavy equipment in the background, like so that everybody on the site hates this guy, right? I make sure that whenever I go on site visits to some of the LNG facilities and stuff like that that we work at, like I don't wear a suit. Like I wear, you know, work pants mm-hmm. and then one of our, you know, Meridian polos, like the work that we wear and the safety glasses and all that type of stuff. And I'm not wearing a suit because, hey, it's just not natural. I love watching political commercials and stuff like that of guys with guns. And you're like, that is the most unnatural thing that I've ever... Roy Moore brandishing a pistol was one of the most... And I'm like, you're a veteran. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Granted,
yep.
He was an Army veteran, so all you Army people can sure get mad about that. He wasn't a Marine, so you can, you know... He held the gun like a pansy, which wasn't, you know... but... Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's not how you hold a weapon. And it's just so unnatural. I mean, there was a guy in Tennessee that built a wall. You know, like, he was brick and mortaring a wall in his front yard. And he said, I'm going to help Trump build the wall. Mm. And it was the most unnatural thing I'd ever seen. I just, like, laughed at it. I'm like, you're a politician. Congratulations, you know. So,
yeah.
But, John, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Hey, thank you, John. Hey, let's stay on the phone lines right now. If you want to be a part of the show, 251-343-0106. Also, take your text on that number. David in Mobile wants to talk with you, Jonathan.
Hey, David. Welcome.
Hello?
Hey, David. How are you? Welcome. You're on Talk 106.5.
Hey, I sure appreciate you giving me a call, chance to get a call. I'd like to ask you just a simple question. How is it that they say that Russia has influenced the election when most of our polling booths are just nothing more than a cardboard box and you're writing in your vote for somebody? How did they influence the vote? And then secondly, do you not think that maybe this is a ploy by the Democratic Party that, or Hillary and the rest of the group, to get rid of the Electoral College? Because I just don't see how in the world they can influence somebody on Hollinger Island or any other place in this country. How do they influence? That's what I've yet to hear from anybody, how they influence our electoral, you know, our voting.
You're totally right. I don't see it either. I think if they're doing anything, it's by influencing the information that's out there, and they're making up, you know, false stories about Hillary Clinton or false stories about Donald Trump. You know, but here's the thing. Those people are the ones – everyone actually voted. I mean, it is your responsibility as an American, as a citizen, to be an informed electorate. Now, whether we fail at that or not, I'm not going to opine into right now, but that's where they failed. And, you know, did they actually go through and punch the holes? And did we have the hanging chads that we had in Northwest Florida?
Yeah, but we ain't Al Gore no more, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. But no, I mean, the people voted. And, you know, did Russia interfere? I think that's a ploy by the Democrats, if anything, just to distract and create that distractive narrative out there that's just going to continue to impede progress in this country. All they're doing right now is posturing for 2020, in my opinion. And that's what everybody's doing. And it's very frustrating. Like, hey, solve our debt problems. Like, national defense and debt. Those are pretty much the two things I care about. Like, are we safe as a country? Are we worried about a little rocket man in on the Korean Peninsula? Or are we worried about, you know, terrorists, you know, infiltrating into this country, illegally, you know, immigrating into this country? And are we spending the future of our children's, you know, into oblivion by building everything, you know, or paying entitlements?
Well, I'm a vet. Everybody in my family's a vet. You know, I'm all for Trump. I think he's doing a great job. I think he's going to bring our country back to where it needs to be. I mean, you just can't simply buy the man, and they don't like the way that he does things. I just, you know, like I said, I just have not heard anybody say, hey, how did actually Russia, you know, influence our election? I just, how could they? I just don't understand that. And I, you know, that's all what I wanted to know about. And I think it's one of the ways that, since she lost through the electoral vote, I think that's a way that they're trying to get rid of that. And I really just didn't understand it, and I surely do appreciate you explaining that to me.
Well, David, I appreciate you calling, and thank you so much for your service, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It is 1:35. Welcome to FM Talk 106.5. This is Jonathan McConnell filling in for Sean. Sean is selflessly putting himself in harm's way to save local wildlife, particularly tasty fish, and preventing them from being boiled in the volcanic waters of Hawaii. We are back and taking phone calls at 251-343-0106. In news, as you may have just heard, Facebook warns of midterm elections and new interference pointing to Russia. And, of course, the administration responds and saying that it will not be tolerated. But the question is, how will it not be tolerated? You know, it doesn't seem like that's really gone anywhere, and that rhetoric has really solved anything in the past. When we say it hasn't been tolerated, we've been interfering in elections for, what, how many years now?
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of part of it. And so, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to shut off their internets? You know, are we going to, you know, ban IP addresses coming from the United States and saying, hey, you know, you can't internets over here anymore? I mean, what's the solution there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wanted to talk to David before we let him off the line, because that heartbreak does come for the Westwood One news. But I think David, and I think a lot of Americans, think that Russian interference of the election must mean that they're hacking voting systems, which they've tried to do, and they've probably maybe been successful. I mean, if you've seen any of those machines, they don't seem like the most high-tech, it's possible that they've done that, but I think the real interference has been through social media, and it's Russia taking advantage of something that Americans have allowed. And let me be clear, Russia is totally in the wrong for trying to interfere or influence an election. But what they've done is they've seen this social media as fertile ground to start debates and to push people one way or the other. So they get these Facebook accounts, they get these Twitter accounts, Instagram, and they make it look like they are Americans. And they know that Americans love to pick sides. And once Americans pick a team, at least recently, they pick that team and they ride them hard. And anything that the other side does is completely wrong 100% of the time. And everything that their team does is 100% right all of the time. So the Russians and other countries have seen this, and they're probably the same in Russia, even though they don't have much of an option. Their president's going to be Putin regardless, even if they act like they have open elections. But they see that Americans like to pick teams, and they're able to use that for them, and in some cases against us, by putting out fake accounts. If they wanted to try to sway it towards Hillary Clinton, and they probably were doing both sides, they had accounts out there that were pushing Americans towards Hillary Clinton, accounts out there that were pushing Americans towards Donald Trump. Their real objective is to split America. They want Americans mad at Americans, not mad at Russians. And that's the most recent news coming from Facebook today. They say they've detected and removed 32 fake accounts and pages on Facebook and Instagram. They said they identified coordinated inauthentic behavior. 7 Instagram accounts, 17 Facebook profiles, 8 were Facebook pages. Estimated 290,000 Facebook accounts followed at least one of those pages. So if you have 290,000 people on Facebook that are following this account, one of these accounts, and they think that they're following an American that's like-minded like them, they're more likely to be agreeable with that person. Well, when it's actually a Russian on the other end who's being coordinated from higher-ups in Russia that are telling you what to think, then all of a sudden you've been influenced, whether you like it or not, and people don't want to believe that they've been influenced. There's just no way to tell unless you work for Facebook, unless you're one of those genius minds behind the computer and you're able to say, okay, yeah, I fell for this, and this was a Russian acting as a social media account. He completely got me there. Nobody wants to believe that they've been tricked.
Well, no, they don't. And the problem, too, with Facebook and the way the algorithms are set up is that they pocket you and they show you what you want to see. And so if you went on there and if, let's say, you ran an experiment and you said, okay, I'm going to be an extremist liberal today, well, and you create a new account and you started liking and looking at, you know, extremist liberal things, then all of a sudden that's all that would show up in your newsfeed. And so that further polarizes us in this country, which is part of the problem. You know, we start looking at, you know, quote-unquote fake news or whatever the rhetoric of the day is to call that issue, and it further polarizes to the point where we can't even agree on the facts. That's what's wrong with us in this country, is that we don't have that central news source out there that's just like, hey, here are facts. There's zero opinion in this. Here is stuff that actually happened. Because once you do, there's so much quote-unquote fake news out there. There's so many things that are out there that are wrong, that there's so much noise that we can't even hear the truth. And that's the problem. And I think that's what frustrates so many people. You know, you mentioned a second ago that Americans, you know, we find a group that we want and then we stick to them and we choose that side and we are against everyone else. That's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I was reading the book, The Power of Habit, or it was one of the books I've read this year so far. And it was talking about how, you know, humans, as we want to belong to something bigger than ourselves, we want to belong to an organization. It's like if you went to medieval times and you get to choose, you're either sitting in the blue section or the red section.
Mm-hmm.
And not only, at first you start cheering for your blue knight, right? But eventually you start cheering against the red knight.
Right.
And human nature actually has it, like, if the red knight fell or his horse got, you know, tripped and the guy fell off and like and got really hurt, the blue people would actually be cheering for that. And you're like, this is against human nature, but it is human nature because we cheer for people that, you know, we want to belong to something that's bigger than us.
Well, yeah, it's survival. And if you think back before social media, 20 years ago, way back when, you know, we were all scrapping for survival out on the plains, you had to be a part of a group or your chances of survival went way, way down. And that human nature is still in your psyche. It's still part of you, even if the people you're talking with are countries away. If they're across the ocean and across, if they're in Russia, you don't know that they're Russian. Or you might be talking to somebody from New York who claims he's a like-minded Republican and he's the exact same as you. But hey, have you seen this over here? And why don't you check this out? And then all of a sudden you're being influenced. It's that easy.
Well, but it's influenced across the board, right? I mean, you dehumanize your enemy. That's kind of part of it, right? That's, you know, that's military 101. We learned that in the Marine Corps. Like, that's why you have so many slang that usually are associated with the enemy, going back to the Vietnam War, not before. There's a book called On Killing by Colonel Dave Grossman. Great book. And it's like, hey, you have to dehumanize the enemy because your psyche is not built on taking a human life. Well, we do the same thing in politics. You know, we're not running against, you know, Donald Trump wasn't running against Hillary Clinton. He was running against a liar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he dehumanized her by calling her all these different names to make it easier to get on board and be like, yeah, she's a liar. We hate her, right? And it's a way of getting people involved and creating your group that's going to be following you. And it's, you know, it's a way of doing it. But the thing is, I wish people would just recognize and say, okay, hey, that's great. You're dehumanizing your other side, your opponent, but let's at least argue facts, right?
Yeah, and it's not just the national elections. I mean, listen to the primary spots that ran for people that were running against each other that are in the exact, I mean, they have the exact same stances on social issues, on economic issues, but you wouldn't know that listening to the political ads in so many instances. It's, this person is awful. Have you seen this? And
yeah.
all those
let
really
me take this out of
voices.
Context.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you're voting for, in some instances, basically the exact same values as the other person. But if one person is able to make this other one look like a monster, like you said, Hillary Clinton wasn't Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was a liar, according to the people that don't like Hillary Clinton. And Donald Trump was not a successful businessman that was running for office. Donald Trump was a pig who disgraces America by how he treats women. And then everybody's like, are these really the only two people that we can get up there? And it's not because they came out, they weren't the best people when they showed up. They weren't the best people we could elect. But I don't think that they're as bad as they've been made out to be either. And
yeah, no,
that'll upset a lot of people saying that, but... You know.
Yeah, I mean, well, and Ron Paul was just too old, I guess. I mean, so I'm a Ron Paul Republican. At least I was back in the day when he was still in the contention for it. But I mean, you've got just like John from Millbrook mentioned a few minutes ago. There's some sharp people out there. I do think there's some sharp people out there. But when you
the smart people don't want to run because of this, because they know they're going to get dehumanized. They know that people they're going to come after their families. They're going to come after them in every single possible way. And oh, by the way, you got to take a pay cut potentially, right? Or unless you're in the Alabama state legislature, then you get a huge pay increase, right? You know, I mean, and that's the problem. And until we stop this and say, hey, listen, we're not going to do this. I mean, I can tell you, I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in years. I read the news if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to participate in that, because I just, I don't want to hear, you know, people who are paid to be dramatic influence my mind. Mm-hmm. And until people start, you know, going off that and being like, hey, listen, I'm not going to allow this to happen, and I'm actually going to get educated off of what's happening in our society, then I think we're doomed to continue to repeat this.
Yeah, my personal opinion as far as electing someone to office, I think we should go with the George Washington model, or the That's My Blue model. And I say that, you know, old school, the movie where they kidnap Blue and they just take him and throw him in the van, and then all of a sudden he's in the fraternity. Or George Washington, he did not run for office. They said, hey, wow, you've done a great job here. Would be nice if you would be our president here. And they actually wanted to give him more power than George Washington wanted. He was like, I'm going to serve a few years, and I think, as far as I can tell, it was against his will, but it was like, you are the best person for the job. That's why we need you to be president. And I think if we were able to, you know, kidnap whoever the best businessman or the best whoever's really good at running a country, that'd be a better way than ending up with two people who were selected from higher ups in their party, and they're saying, okay, here's your candidate, and this is what we're going to do. And I think that's why people backed Trump so hard, is because he wasn't like so many of these other politicians who've just climbed the ranks and were put in that position.
You know, I think you're right, and I understand, and I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that our next president should be Jim Mattis. Is that what you're saying? Because I'm pretty sure that's what I hear right now. The problem is you can't kidnap Jim Mattis, General Mattis, because he doesn't sleep. He waits. You know, you take every Chuck Norris joke out there, and then that is the General Mattis. I will say this, you know, I was I kind of sat in the middle for a long time on the several things, but when Trump appointed General Mattis to Secretary of Defense, I was like, everything is going to be okay, because that man is the best servant leader we've ever possibly had, the warrior poet, greatest man I know. He's awesome.
Chester Drawers texts in, one of my favorite texters. He says, why not make Blue run for president? Unfortunately, Chester, the man who played Blue in Old School, passed away several years ago, or I would be totally behind that, 100%. Coming back, more Midday Mobile right after the break.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It is 1:52. Welcome to FM Talk 106.5. I'm Jonathan McConnell, covering for Sean Sullivan as he is out this week. We welcome you back, and thanks so much for your text and your calls. Supermom had a question on whether I was going to run for office again. No, I am not. I have got a job now that I'm back and working in my company and making sure that I can take care of my wonderful little family. I've got my supermom at home who's taking care of our little 13-month-old, and it is the most awesome thing, having a little family. And so, no, I'm going to stay away from that. But another reason is, you know, you look at it, and we've got an interesting story today coming out of Virginia. You know, there's more of a Bigfoot erotica type issue that's going on in the congressional race up there. I mean, Dalton, have you seen this?
Yeah, I saw it last night. What is going on here? I mean, it's the two candidates, right? So the Democrats, Leslie Cockburn, and the opponent, Denver Riggleman. I mean, those are two all-timer names right there just to start with.
How do you choose? I mean, take the R and the D out from beside their names, and, well, let's not even talk about what else is on there. But you take that away from their names, and you're just like, wow, these are some great names. I mean, great, strong names.
Yeah, Leslie Cockburn, actually, I don't know if you know the actress Olivia Wilde, which you probably don't, since you don't watch TV like me over here, the couch potato. But
absolutely
Olivia Wilde, very good-looking actress. Turns out her mom is this Leslie Cockburn, who's a veteran investigative journalist, which actually, I guess, is how she stumbled across the pages, which were set to private, of her opponent, Denver Riggleman. Riggleman is a former military man, and she found, I guess, she posted these pictures of Bigfoot, and there's a big censored black box on the image of Bigfoot, and she says that he is a devotee of Bigfoot erotica. That's the story that's been shaking Virginia since the story came out.
You know, I may not be a devotee of Bigfoot erotica, but the presence of Bigfoot and whether he actually exists, like, mm-hmm. I can get down with that. You know, like, if you, Northwest, Pacific Northwest, you know, my wife is from Oregon, love it, most, one of the most beautiful areas in the country, and I'm sorry, Bigfoot exists. He's out there.
Oh, you're doing that?
I am going there. It's, you know, being out there with such big, beautiful Douglas firs that are out there, the trees out there are gorgeous. Okay, he may not actually exist, but I tell you what, I do not like being caught out in the woods out there on runs and stuff like that, and on hikes. You're like, okay, I wish I could be carrying right now.
Yeah, there's a chance. I mean, he probably doesn't exist, but if you're out there in the woods in the Pacific Northwest, there's a chance that you're thinking about him if it's dark and you're walking through there.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, going back to it, this is why people don't run. I mean, mm-hmm. because this is what the level that we stoop to. Like, hey, present ideas. Now, if you had debates, right, and the reason that people don't, they resort to stuff like this is in bashing is because they don't have the material in the debates. If you had debates and going back and forth, and you could sit there and be like, hey, we're going to have 14 debates, or not really. Let's say we had 8 debates, and they could exchange ideas. I guarantee you that you would have a much better ammunition against your opponent by just the exchange of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that because we don't hold people accountable for not debating.
Yeah. Well, it's not sexy enough. It's not a sexy enough story like Bigfoot erotica is kind of sexy. But Riggleman's response to this was just fantastic. And we were talking about how stupid this has all gotten. He said, I think we probably jumped the shark on stupid. And he kind of explained himself a little bit here. So he did acknowledge that he wrote 2 books on Bigfoot. One of them, his third book here, unpublished, called The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him. And he said, these books are parody, if you couldn't already tell, that he was not writing these to be serious. He said they were parody. They stemmed from running jokes that he had with friends from the military. He even added that he does not believe in Bigfoot. So we have a non-believer here, Jonathan. But he added he did not want to alienate the Bigfoot vote. He said the entire thing was a joke that his opponent had seized upon unfairly. So he didn't want to lose the Bigfoot believers out there, but he did want you to know he doesn't believe in Bigfoot, and this was all just a joke, and that his opponent has drummed it up to her benefit.
You know, giving up the Bigfoot vote is like a presidential candidate giving up California. You know, like, I mean, you just cannot do it and still win the election. And it's just...
We haven't seen any politicians run solely for the Bigfoot vote. Maybe that's coming up next.
You know, 2018... November elections, I think it's going to be based entirely around Bigfoot. But, you know, once again, that's the problem with politics nowadays, is that it does get down to stuff like this. But it's also, I'm going to blame the politicians on this one. If you debated and you let people actually have the free exchange of ideas and what our democracy is based off of, then I think that you would actually have, you would clean up the politics of, like, hey, like, quit distracting the message. Here's where I debated you and put you into the ground, or here are differentiating factors, and you couldn't keep up. I would love to have that conversation. I would love to have Walt Maddox and Kay Ivey talk to me about what are you going to do to promote health insurance, competition within health insurance in this state. We have only Blue Cross Blue Shield. Like we practically have a single payer here in Alabama, well, besides the federal government, right, which is also the state government because of the unfunded mandates, which is why we are in a debate, have a major financial issues here in Alabama. But what are we doing about it? And that's not happening. You know, what are we doing to improve the, 20-something thousand bridges in the state that need to be repaired? So it's something that we could definitely work on. And we appreciate your time today. Thanks so much, Sean. I hope you're enjoying your vacation. And we look forward to having you back next week.
Yeah, and I'll be back on Mobile Mornings tomorrow morning with Kelly Finley, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams, Kane. The whole crew will be here. And Jonathan, you coming back in tomorrow?
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.